reading them. Mm-hmm. I was reading again in the First Corinthians, what Paul is talking about, you know, the communion, the whole passage. And I guess I just had to relearn it. You know, it says, if some of you are sick, and some of you are asleep because you don't discern the body, you know. And I always wonder, what does he mean, discern the body? I've heard people talk about discern the body. What does it mean, talk about discern the body? You know? And how is it that you don't discern the body correctly? I got a reading, and I was talking to my son, we were talking about keeping things in context when you read them.
Yeah.
You know, I read the Bible, read before, read after. So if you read before and read after, what's he talking about? He's talking about when they come together, some of them are hungry, go ahead and eat. They don't share with their others. There's others that come that are hungry, da-da-da, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, the body, when they come together and eat, of course, they were eating meals. He said, you're not taking notice of what the other people are into. Some of them will come hungry, you know. And it's like when you have a fellowship dinner, always bringing over you and somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
And so they weren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them come just eating, you know. And they said, look, you're hungry, eat at home before
yeah.
you come. You know? When you come, it's the time for fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And looking out for each other.
Yeah.
So discern the body of Christ is what he was talking about, the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he talked about it in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, discerning the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, when he says discern the body, he says, take note of the folks around you.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, when we take communion, what do? We take it at the same time. We take it together. We eat
yeah.
the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Everyone is equal.
Yeah.
We discern the body.
Yeah.
You know? We kind of got it built into our ritual. sort of
thing.
But think about others, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, we're careful when someone comes. We make sure they got one. We'll get somebody. I'll get up and go get them.
Yeah.
You know? That's discerning the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never knew that. That was cool. Anyway, Candace, Kobe, bring us a song. You have a song for us?
Well, this was a request from David, and it's kind of like a Christian chorus of Baptist, I believe, could be. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to be kind of one of those a cappella things. So.
Okay.
I'm going to help. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I'll go through the week, and I'll look at songs, and just, nope, not that one. So this is what he wanted me to sing today. So, okay.
Right.
Okay. It's called Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And sing that one more time. Everybody join in and sing out loud. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You can still feel his presence in such a simple song.
Yeah.
And it is so true.
Yeah.
That love has got such tremendous meaning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Whoever is next.
So let's see. Last time we were talking about how do we get in our inheritance? Don't we already have it?
Yeah.
But isn't someone trying to take it away from us?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
or is someone trying to keep you from using it or enjoying it, right? We talked about that a little bit. And we talked about in the Old Testament, they were working with their inheritance, right? They were trying to get the land of Canaan, the promised land. God had said, this is yours, I'm giving it to you, but you got to go in and get it. You got to go in and receive it, right? So we talked about Joshua, right? And, of course, they had stones and swords and spears and all that sort of thing. But how did he take the first big city in the land? The land, remember that big city? Jericho?
Yeah.
How did he take that? Did they use their stones and spears and stuff? What did they do? They just marched around the city in silence. In silence. Remember that? All right. So we talked about that, and the walls came tumbling down. Love that. The walls come tumbling down. Okay. So then we talked about Jehoshaphat. All right. Whereas Joshua took his people around the city in silence for 6 days, and on the seventh day they gave a shout and all that. Well, Jehoshaphat was told he wouldn't fight at all. He wasn't going to fight the battle. God was going to fight the battle for him. Mm-hmm. So what did he go in with? Who did he put in front of the army?
Praise.
Yeah, the praise team, right? Hey, praise team, get up here in front. Y'all lead the way into this. And they went in singing praises to God, right? So that's what happened with Jehoshaphat. And he didn't even have to, they didn't have to do anything. They just went in and picked up the spoil and took it back to the city. 3 days it took them to get it all back to the city, so much of it. Because all the people had already been defeated by the time they got there. That was a good way to do it. You can be silent before the Lord, or you can be praising God. Anyway, that works both ways. King David, he danced. Remember, he danced before the Lord. He was playing his lyre at times. He was singing at times. But, you know, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought in, he went and danced before the Lord. I mean, he used all the bases, right? He touched all the bases, right? He didn't leave anything out. So this is what they did in the Old Testament, right? So here's another Old Testament guy. Now, he is not in a position of power like Joshua, Jehoshaphat, and King David was. He was just one lone guy. And he was in captivity, and he was surrounded by enemies. All right? So what did he do? What was his attack? This is Daniel. I'm talking about Daniel, okay? So let's look at Daniel. He was in Babylon. I mean, if he'd taken up a sword or a spear, you know, they'd have gotten him real quick. So he did something that they really couldn't come against directly. Of course, they came against it spiritually, if you will. All right? So he used some unusual weapons. The weapons he used were prayer, supplication, humility, confession, speaking, and seeking the face of God, focusing on God. So we're going to read in Daniel 9, just the first four verses, and then a little bit from maybe Daniel 9, 20 through 23. Just see what he says. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. There you go. That'll do for today. Of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Now he's a studier. All right? He's a studier. He doesn't just pray. He studies the word. Okay? I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. What books is he studying? His Bible. Yeah, he's studying his Bible. Okay? I came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So what was his response to all of his studying? We're going to find out what he did in response to all this study. And when he gets this understanding, he didn't get a revelation, he got an understanding. Okay? I understood, he says, I understood by books that this is going to happen. All right? Because Jeremiah said it somewhere in his book. Okay? So here's his response. And I, one, set my face unto the Lord God. Two, to seek. Number three, by prayer. And four, supplications. With five, fasting. And six, sackcloth. And seven, ashes. And I, eight, prayed unto the Lord my God. And made my nine, confession. And ten, said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Well, there's 10 things that he did, right? And I don't see a weapon in any of them. I don't see a sword. I don't see a stone and a sling. I don't see none of those things, right? Because our struggle isn't with flesh and blood. Right? But we do have the power to bring down strongholds. Yeah. So this is what he was doing. This is how he sought the Lord. This is how he did his fight, his warfare. And so we jump down to verse 20. He talks, he gives what he was saying. All right? The verses that we're leaving out is what he said, what Daniel was saying. Okay? I just read the first part of it. But, and so he continues at the end, after he said some of the things that he said, obviously, probably not all of it. And so he says, and while, this is in verse 20, he says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, okay, this is how he did it. He wants to make sure that we know he wasn't wielding a sword or slinging a sling or cracking a whip, okay? This is what he did, all right? Even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, that is in Daniel 8:16, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Okay? And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Okay, so let's look at this a little bit. He says, the man Gabriel... All right. Well, later on, we know Gabriel is what? Who is this Gabriel guy?
He's an angel.
He's an angel, right? All right. But he looks like
man.
He looks like a man. Now, do we have angels that look like men in other places in Scripture? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Mary, right? Yeah. The angel came to her. She thought it was just a guy, right? So, and so here he is. Here's Gabriel looking like a man. Okay, angels can take the form of a man. And actually, we know angels look different ways, right? I don't want to get into a thing on angels, but we know they look like beasts and all kinds of things. They got all kinds of wings and all this sort of thing. Maybe this angel doesn't look that way, you know. But anyway, but he was caused to fly swiftly. He flew swiftly. Whether he had wings or not, he flew. I don't know, you know. All right. And he touched him. He says, at the beginning of your supplications, the commandment went forth. It came forth. All right? In other words, I was given a commandment to come to you and tell you these things I'm about to tell you. When you first started your supplication. Right. So Daniel was still probably there on his knees saying all this stuff. He says, while I was speaking and praying, while I was still in the midst of doing this guy shows up. All right? So he says, you are greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved. Well, that's kind of interesting. If I'm so greatly beloved, why did it take so long to get an answer to my prayer? Right? I mean, this is what I think, guys. I don't know about y'all, but I think this stuff, you know. If I'm so greatly beloved, why did it take 21 days for this guy to come up and show up, you know? And, you know, I think of these things, you know. And so, obviously, again, the answer is we have enemies.
Yeah.
Daniel had enemies, all right? And so these enemies have to be beat back.
Yeah.
They have to be dealt with. And that's part of receiving what God sends out to you.
Yeah.
From the moment you started speaking, you're so beloved, the commandment went out. Boom. Right? So, and he flew swiftly.
Yeah, he did.
He flew swiftly. But it takes some, you hit some resistance, apparently. And then these angels hit the atmosphere of Earth. And they hit the dominion of man down here. Because we were given dominion. You run into problems. They run into problems. And so we need to help them get to us. Right? We need to pray them in. So, anyway. So, this is the way Daniel did it. Daniel got his answers. We know that. But that was Old Testament. That was Old Covenant. Well, what do we do in the New Covenant? Yeah? Do we still have to struggle to maintain our inheritance?
Have to fight.
Ah, yeah. Ephesians 6. We've got to put on the armor of God, don't we? Yeah. We struggle not for the flesh and blood. We have to put on the armor of God, right? What kind of struggle do we make?
Same kind of Daniel did.
It's a spiritual struggle, isn't it? It's a spiritual struggle. And we speak with words. We speak with words. We speak with our actions, but we speak with words. Is it a hard struggle or an easy struggle?
It's easy in him.
It's easy in him. Okay. That's good. That's good.
It doesn't always seem like it, but at the end of the day, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if you think about it, it's hard because we're going up against a tough enemy. Right? I mean, you know, Daniel had to pray 21 days. All right? The folks you were talking about earlier in Acts that were praying for Peter to get out of prison,
yeah.
They were all together in one place praying together. All right? They had to stop other things they would have been doing and focus on doing that.
Uh-huh.
All right? But in another way, it's easy. You know, they didn't have to wield swords, fight. They didn't have to carry all these bags of stones so they could have some rocks to throw, you know. They didn't have to do any of that stuff, did they? I mean, all you got to do is talk. Pray, that's a pretty easy thing, right? So, depends on how you look at it, you know.
You know, this was their heritage.
Yeah.
They read about wars that were won through prayer.
Yeah.
And now they're praying.
Now they're praying.
They're not going to let their captain be killed.
Well, that's good. That's good. That is good. Don't leave a comrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is good. They couldn't go in and storm the prison and get him out. Uh-huh. They had a more effective way to do it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Boy, that's good. That'll preach. I tell you what, I like that. So, are we assured of victory?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we persevere, if we stay with it, we're assured of victory. Right? Just like Joshua was told, stay with it, Joshua. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. You will win. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. So, you know, we as Christians, we may be greatly beloved like Daniel was. But we may still have problems getting answers to our questions, our prayers, right?
Yeah.
Daniel had prayers. He was greatly beloved. He had problems. So we may have problems too. We may have to do the 10 things that Daniel did. May have to go out and buy some sackcloth. I don't know. Maybe not. But you've got to want your answers very much. You've got to want them very much. We talk about, James talks about Elijah. He talks about praying for the sick. Right? that they'll get well. And he gives the example of Elijah. And he says, this man was a man like us, with like passions, right? He says, but he stayed with it. He prayed fervently, right? He prayed fervently, and boom, no rain. And then again he prayed. And we know how many times he prayed to get that little fist of cloud to show up.
Yeah.
Right? He prayed over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Right? And then suddenly, you better run because it's going to rain. Right? You pray until you get a manifestation that something's going to happen. Right? Then you know it's going to happen.
Right?
So we have to stay consistent. We have to stay firm in prayer. The Greek word where it says, The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember that verse? That fervent, effectual prayer. Okay? That's actually the same Greek word for prayer repeated twice. It's repeated. Prayer. Prayer. They don't have the word very in Greek. All right, we don't say someone is very strong. You can say he's strong, or you say he's strong. You see, that's the way they did it.
Oh, okay.
You understand that in Greek, they don't say very strong to show that not only was he strong, he was very strong. He was stronger than most.
Yeah.
It's prayer. When they repeat a word, it means very. Prayer. But prayer.
Yeah.
All right. That availeth much. Okay, I mean, really getting into it like Daniel did. Really being serious, like they did in Acts. Yeah. Well, God said, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. The whole heart. All your heart. That is, you just pour yourself into it. Right? You don't give up. You stay with it. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Right? The gates of hell cannot withstand us because we're going to keep banging on them. We're going to keep banging on them. Banging on them. Right?
Yeah.
Banging on them. Right?
Yeah.
You hear sometimes about prisoners in prison. They're in the prison. We got steel bars. Right? Iron bars. And they're going to keep them from getting out. But one of them will escape one day. Well, how'd they get out? Because they took a shoelace, weighted it, rolled it around in the concrete dust of the floor cell, at the cell, floor of their cell. Got that concrete particles on their shoelace. And they went up there and they rubbed that iron bar with that concrete dust. And they kept doing this day after day. It took them years. But they eventually cut through that bar. Persistence. Persistence. So, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but just want to, you know, remind you that God keeps saying, be persistent. And so next time I want to talk about what is used most often, if you will, in the New Testament to move things, to change things. What do you think is most often used in the New Testament? What kind of thing that people do, what kind of things that they did in the New Testament that really changed things? And I'm not talking about going out and doing miracles and this sort of thing. I'm talking about, you know, what did you do? And actually, we've already got a hint from it because it was done in the Old Testament too. Okay? We already got a hint from it. But they prayed. Obviously, they prayed. But this particular thing shows up a lot. We're going to talk about it next time. I'll go ahead and tell you so you won't wonder about it all week. Rejoice.
Yeah.
Rejoice. And again I say.
Yeah, rejoice.
Rejoice. Right? Yeah. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
Rejoice. Rejoice. Because we know God is with us always. Because we know we have the victory. Because we know we don't have to take a shield and we don't have to take a sword and heavy. We don't have to do all that. We can rejoice.
Yeah.
Rejoice. That's how people receive.
Yeah.
Most often in the New Testament, we're told, this is what you do, guys. This is what you do. Well, let's say a prayer over the food and we'll go to it. Father, thank you so much for the food. Thank you for the hands that prepared it for us. Father, you are a great and mighty God. You gave us your Son, Jesus, to die in our place, that we might live in victory, Father. We may abide in him and his doctrine. We may live in victory, and we may see your kingdom come upon this earth. Your will be done in our lives as quickly and as completely and efficiently as it's done in heaven. May it be done in our lives, in the lives of those we love and those around us. Be with every pastor today. May each preacher speak the word of God with boldness and correctness. Amen. Okay.